We begin with the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, and the people respond, Amen. Lord, have mercy. Hear the commandments of God to his people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of bondage. You shall have no other gods but me. Amen. Lord, have mercy. You shall not make for yourself any idol. Amen. Lord, have mercy. You shall not invoke with malice the name of the Lord your God. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Honor your father and your mother.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not commit murder.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not commit adultery.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not steal.
Amen.
You shall not be a false witness.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
You shall not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins. Jesus said, the first commandment is this. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, whose blessed Son, Jesus Christ, came down from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world, evermore give us this bread, that he may live in us and we in him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
reading from the book of Numbers. From Mount Hor, the Israelites set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole, and whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Ephesians. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment: the light has come into the world, and that people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The Hebrew people did not know how to be grateful. I don't know if this was caused by the many years that they suffered in slavery, or whether it was simply a habit. But you and I know that our own happiness is often determined by how we choose to view our lives. If we see our lives as full of goodness, and we are thankful for everything that is given to us, then we live with joy in our hearts. But we can also choose to see all those things that we do not have. If we choose to look upon life in that way, we will always feel incomplete. The Hebrew people somehow had gotten in the habit of being ungrateful and complaining and seeing everything that they did not have. God had taken them out of slavery in Egypt, rescued them from bondage, and brought them into freedom. But they complained because it was hot, they didn't know where they were going, and in today's reading from Numbers, they're actually complaining about the menu. At first they say, we don't have anything to eat, but then they say, well, yes, we do have food, we just don't like it. So they've been rescued and given freedom, but they don't like the menu. And all this complaining and bellyaching makes God angry. God wants to shake them up, give them some perspective. So God sends poisonous snakes. There's nothing like the face of death to give you perspective on life. All of a sudden, they weren't worried about the menu. They realized what they really wanted was just to be alive. So they went to Moses and begged Moses to pray to God, talk to God, and ask God to forgive us for all of our complaining and bellyaching. For our miserable outlook on life, please ask God for forgiveness. Moses, who dearly loves his people, does just that. He goes to God and begs God for mercy. And God gives Moses the most interesting set of instructions. God says, I want you to make a snake, just like the poisonous snakes that are biting everybody. I want you to make a snake, and I want you to put it on a pole and lift it up for everyone to see. And when people look on the snake, they will be healed. How bizarre. God was saying that he wanted Moses to lift up the source of their pain. Lift it up for everyone to see. And that when people see the source of their pain, they will be healed. A lot of you wear beautiful crosses around your necks. I love looking at them. But we forget what the cross really is. It's an instrument of execution. The cross was the equipment that was used to torture and kill Jesus, and yet we wear it on our necks proudly. Why? You would think that when Jesus died, stripped naked on a piece of wood, bleeding and in agony, that God would have wanted to hide that failure, that misery, that suffering. Why didn't God hide it? It was certainly nothing to be proud of, nothing to show off. I mean, what worse could happen to a person? It was the worst kind of failure and humiliation and vulnerability known to man. And yet God lifted it up. In the gospel, Jesus is having a conversation with Nicodemus. And he explains, most of us, when we go through something terrible, when we fail or do something wrong, we want to hide it. Because those who do evil acts or who suffer from failure automatically want to put that into the darkness. But God asks you to lift up your suffering. Lift up the worst things that have happened to you. Lift up your failures and your pain, the mistakes that you've made. Lift them up for all the world to see, and you will be healed. And so will others. You know the symbol for medicine is that snake on a pole. It has roots in Greek mythology, but it also has roots in that story that we heard this morning from the book of Numbers. That if you lift up the source of your pain, you'll be healed. And Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me." Take up your cross and follow me. AJ was a young man in college who rowed crew. He was told by his coach that he needed to lose weight in order to increase his time. He tried dieting and it didn't work. He tried exercising harder and it didn't work. So AJ began to eat and then throw up. And it worked. The coach said that he looked really good. His time, it got faster. But something began to happen to his mind. You see, he did all this in secret. And gradually he began to care less and less about his team, about his grades, about his friends. He retreated into the darkness of his mind, where he mostly thought about what he was going to eat and how he was going to purge himself. This went on for 5 years until the calcium from his bones was depleted and his teeth were decaying. Finally, he came to the brink of death, just like the Hebrew people. He was hospitalized. And it was there, out of the fear of facing death, that he began to speak the truth. He began to admit what he had been doing and what it was doing to his body and what it was doing to his mind. And he began to heal. But when he got out of the hospital, he realized that he needed to do more. He needed to tell the world that it wasn't just women that suffered from this disease, that it was men too, and particularly athletes. So he lifted up his humiliation and his pain, his failures and his secrecy for all the world to see. And he began to go speaking to different schools and universities, telling them the truth about what had happened to him. And in doing this, he began to truly heal. And so did other people. When you and I go through something terrible, we automatically want to hide it from everyone because we're supposed to look good. We're supposed to be impressive. We're supposed to say that we're fine, that we're well. But don't you realize that all true creativity, all ingenuity, it all comes from a place of being vulnerable. When you share your pain, Christ is there. Many of you realize that a week and a half ago, the head of the Episcopal school was shot and killed in her office by a teacher who she had just fired. When this happened, I rushed to the campus. And my first instinct and that of the school, once the children were safe, was to hide. All these cameras and television stations were coming, and we didn't want to talk to them. We wanted to pretend it hadn't happened. It was too awful. What if people didn't want to come back to the school? What if the students didn't want to return? What if we became known as the school with the headmaster who was shot? But the media descended upon us, and we were forced to tell the truth, to lift up this horrible tragedy for all the world to see, to share our incredible pain and shock and guilt and frustration. And when we did that, the most amazing things began to happen. The campus of Episcopal was flooded with love. Clergy came from all different denominations, all religions, to the campus. My Presbyterian friend, who never would ever put on a collar, put one on and walked around the campus for 3 days. Counselors came without pay, without us having to ask them, just to be there for us. And people prayed all over the world. Last night, I got an email from the Archbishop of Perth in Australia, who's been praying for us. and I was afraid that the students wouldn't want to come back. But by Thursday, they too were flooding the campus, painting river rocks, which Dale loved because she said they guided her way. And by Friday, 4,000 people flooded the campus. And in the middle of the service, while I was talking, I noticed people looking up at the sky, and I thought, man, this must not be going very well. Everybody's getting very distracted. At the end of the service, though, they rushed up to me and said, "Did you see the rainbow?" One of the parents caught it on her cell phone, a picture, and I have it now. Man, that experience hurt. It was one of the worst things I've ever gone through. But it was not the end of the story. In fact, what I'm beginning to realize is that that tragedy, it was only the beginning. God is doing so much more. It was only the beginning. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, we come before you to pray for this world that you have made. Good Lord,
hear us.
For all who suffer, for the hungry, the sick, and those who are in pain, good Lord,
hear us.
For lasting peace throughout the world, that all human beings might come to respect and honor one another, good Lord,
hear us.
For this planet, that we may learn to cultivate and value the resources that you have given us, good Lord,
hear us.
For the church throughout the world, for the Episcopal Church in Florida, and for this cathedral, our church home, that we may welcome many people to your holy table, good Lord,
hear us.
For those who have died, we remember especially Marjorie Deans. Good Lord,
hear us.
For ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, that we may move mountains in service to you. Good Lord,
hear us.
We thank you for this time of worship, for those that we love, for all good gifts that you have given us, and for every breath that we take. Good Lord,
hear us.
Heavenly Father, you have promised to hear what we ask in the name of your Son. Accept and fulfill our petitions, we pray, not as we ask in our ignorance, nor as we deserve in our sinfulness, but as you know and love us in your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the cathedral. We're so glad that you're here today. It's great to see you. And if you're new or visiting, we have a newcomer card in your pew. If you would fill that out, we'll send you our e-newsletter. We also have bags for newcomers at the back of the church, and people from our Grow team can give you a bag or help you find your way around the church. I just got back from spending the week in Cuba with the dean of the cathedral in Havana, and he sends you all of his love and his thanks. We've been trying to help him get better as he has a hard time speaking. He's having trouble with his vocal cords. So it was good to see him, and he sends you all his love. Our parish retreat is coming up, and it is a wonderful time to build community. If you're interested in getting to know your brothers and sisters here at the cathedral, I hope you'll consider coming. It's a wonderful time full of many different activities, and there's a flyer in your bulletin. Holy Week is just 2 weeks away. Can you believe it? Lent is going quickly. Holy Week is the most sacred season of the church year, and it begins when Jesus comes in to Jerusalem on a donkey. And it ends with his cross and resurrection on Easter. I want to invite you all to participate in Holy Week, and particularly on Wednesday night, we have a Seder dinner. We believe that Jesus was partaking of the Passover meal at the Last Supper. So on Wednesday night, we reenact the Jewish Seder, and it's abbreviated a bit. So it's about an hour or so. And we go through the Seder and learn more about what Jesus went through. So if you're interested in having dinner with us on that Wednesday night of Holy Week, Monica is in the back of the church, or you can call the office to make a reservation. Coffee hour will be in Burwell Court outside today because it's just too beautiful for us to be inside. So I hope you all will join us for that. And we're going to be bringing up all of the gifts that so many of you have brought for St. Mary's Mission in Springfield. Thank you so much for your generosity. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
We were bound in sin, but in your compassion you redeemed us, reconciling us to yourself with the precious blood of Christ. Therefore, with people of every nation, tribe, and language, with the whole church on earth and in heaven, joyfully we give you thanks and sing. Glory and honor to you, God of grace, for you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, once for all on the cross, to be the one perfect sacrifice for the sin of the world, that all who believe in him might have eternal life. The night before he died, he took bread, and when he had given you thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup. And when he had given you thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, to remember me." Therefore, Heavenly Father, in this sacrament of the suffering and death of your Son, we now celebrate the wonder of your grace and proclaim the mystery of our faith. Redeemer God, rich in mercy, infinite in goodness, we were far off until you brought us near, and our hands are empty until you fill them. As we eat this bread and drink this wine, through the power of your Holy Spirit, feed us with your heavenly food. Renew us in your service, unite us in Christ, and bring us to your everlasting kingdom. From you and through you and for you are all things. To you be the glory forever.
Amen. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and is raised for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
And now we will send forth our lay Eucharistic visitor, which he will be bringing communion to those who are homebound. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth, bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son, and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit, be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, to defend you, within you, to keep you, before you to lead you, beside you to guard you, and above you to bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.